You are now tuned into Accelerate to Great Podcast with Nehemiah Davis, a podcast for aspiring and established entrepreneurs looking for their next level of greatness.
Hey guys, it's Nehemiah, and today you're going to learn how to accelerate to great. I'm super pumped up about today's podcast. I have a very special friend of mine here with me today by the name of Laz. This man is amazing. I had the opportunity to meet him a few months ago in Miami. He was speaking, him and his partner, and so happened that this guy actually is from Philadelphia. So we actually became friends. We hang out, and this dude's just an incredible marketer. He's amazing. I cannot wait for you guys to hear his story and hear some of the strategies that got him to where he is. So without further ado, super excited to have you on the podcast today, my brother. How you feeling?
Thank you, Neo. It's a pleasure to be here. It's actually my first podcast, so
even better.
Very happy for that.
And
we're gonna do. We're just gonna talk about value, see what we can provide, and hopefully enlighten some people about some topics, and I don't know, have some fun too.
Absolutely, can't wait to have it. So, man, tell me a little bit about the transition. Tell me a little bit about your backstory. You could spend a couple minutes doing so, but you finished college and then you decided to start a business. But before you got there, tell me a little bit. I know because you told me about your parents was like, you have to go to school. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so I was born in Cuba, and my parents, they immigrated to the U.S. when I was 2 years old. So I think it's very common for a lot of like immigrants and, even people like that start off poor or whatever. It's very common. It's like, you have to go to school, you have to get an education. That's the only way to make it, big in life. It's like very specific set of standards. And I thought, like growing up, elementary, middle school, high school, everything, I had like the best grades. I always tried to like do everything. Right in school, I tried, everything was like perfect obedience, just because that's what I thought was success. That's what that's the meaning that I, envisioned of success.
Right.
So, I go to college and, I'm studying mechanical engineering.
Right.
And I'll never forget this moment. And I think it's funny too, cause you were talking about it today early on your live. And I think this was the moment where I literally went from being, going the engineering route to switching completely to like something else. So I think, and I don't know, maybe, other people have the same opinion as this, but, I've always like, my mother is like the biggest thing to me, I love my mom and this and that. And like for me to like disappoint her in any way would be like the death of me,
Right.
So I remember like, I was in college, I think I was like a sophomore at the time, and I started doing this e-com thing on the side, which is another funny story, but I guess we can talk about that. But I remember telling my mom, I was like, Mom, I think, and at the time I wasn't really like making money or anything, I was just kind of messing with it, but I liked like, the freedom that I had, I liked being able to, just do things on my own terms, not having a boss and all that stuff, and I remember telling my mom, it's like, Mom, I don't think I want to be an engineer. I think I want to do this e-commerce thing. I want to like work for myself, this and that. And I'm telling you, that was like, if you can talk about, not having a plan B and like burning your bridges and all this stuff, like that would have been it right there. Because when I told that to my mom, she was like, are you crazy? You have to like go to school. You have to graduate. She wanted me to get my master's. She wanted me to do so many things. And I was like, yeah, Mom, like, I understand you, I like 100%, but that's not what I'm passionate about. Like, I don't feel like I'd be fulfilling like what I wanna do if I don't do, like e-commerce or like some business venture. Like, to be honest, I wasn't exactly sure that I wanted to do like e-commerce, but I knew I wanted to be like my own boss.
Right.
I was like, I like the whole entrepreneur thing. I don't wanna work for someone else. I don't want, I don't want my paycheck to rely on someone else. Right. I wanna like be the boss of my own things. Right. And then, it was a struggle for some time. And, I just made it, that's where me and my business partner, we just, like, we really went hard at work there, just trying to figure out, like, things to make it work. We both had savings that we had accumulated just from taking, like, jobs over the summer or whatever. And we basically threw all those savings at, like, running ads to our e-commerce stores. Right. And, you know, it was, we ran out of money.
Right.
We went broke. I didn't want to ask my mom for money because, right, you know, I had already burned that bridge. She's like, yeah, you should go to school. Yeah. And I was still going to school. My plan was always to, you know, finish my degree no matter what, just because I was like, you know, like, at the very least, I can make her happy, like, yeah, showing her that I graduated, I got a degree or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always wanted to do like my own thing. So my partner and I, we went through our savings, everything. We went broke. And I didn't want to ask my mom for money, so we both took up jobs. We're like, all right, we have to pay for ads somehow. So we both got jobs. And we just, every paycheck that we got was into ads.
Wow.
We were like, ads. We started investing into like programs, you know, getting people to teach us like, yeah, some stuff. Like, and then, you know, I think once you surround yourself with the right group of individuals, that's what takes you to the next level. Yeah. So I think we invested in ourselves. We, yeah, like, just like try and absorb as much information as possible, hanging around, like, whether it be Facebook groups, like, you know, on Instagram, yeah, following people, watching their lives, all, yeah, that stuff. That's, I think, what took it to the next level. And, you know, we just started learning little bits and pieces and started, yeah, putting pieces together until, you know, we started making some money.
Yeah. How long did you guys go where you like, damn, this not working? Like, because you, yeah, said you was dumping all this money. Did you ever get to a point where you like, man, maybe we should just quit this and go back to a job?
Yeah.
Did you ever get there?
Yeah, yeah, many times. And I think what helped, it's just from my opinion, what helped us in that whole scenario was the fact that, you know, we had like each other back on. So, because my parents, like, I mean, they're supportive. They've always been supportive of me and all that stuff. But it wasn't like, I didn't want to bring the whole like business thing to them and be like, oh, yeah, look, you know, I'm losing money. Like,
yeah, yeah,
blah, blah. Like, they just wanted me to go to school, which is fine. And I think it, you know, that was their ideology. But I think just having, you know, like having like a business partner where we had the same goals and just being able to surround ourselves with the right people.
Yeah.
Like, I remember sometimes I would get super down. I'd be like, you know, we've spent all this money. Like, when, because I remember we would tell each other, all right, so the threshold is $1,000. If we spend $1,000 and we don't get any results, we're done with this. We're not going, right, to spend a single dime more.
Wow.
And then we would get to points like that and be like, we would see other people's results. People would always be posting their results. Oh, look, check this out. And I do the same thing now, right, just, right, because,
yeah,
I was there at one, right, point too. Right. And I was like, that's kind of like what motivated us. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'd be down. I'd be like, oh, I think this doesn't work. It's not going to get me anywhere. And then he'd be like, look, man, you know, like, this person is showing their results. Like, you know, these people are getting results. So,
right,
like,
right,
some, we must be doing, yeah, something, yeah, wrong. We, yeah, just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
But once we do, we're going to be able to, you know, kill it.
Gotcha.
And then that was kind of like what helped. And I mean, it was vice versa. Sometimes my business partner would feel down, and then sometimes I would feel down.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, you know, like, this has to work. Like, kind of like one of those like pump up, yeah, like,
it has,
like,
to work.
Yeah, yeah. We got to, yeah, pump each other up type deals, and like, we can't quit. And I think that was one of the main reasons, you know, and one of the main things that I tell like everybody when they ask me, it's like, what, like, if you have any advice for me, what would you say? And I'm like, you know, as cliche as it sounds,
yeah,
don't give up.
Right.
Because, like, through the whole process, and even right now, like, I'm not saying that now everything's fine and dandy, because there's always like things coming up. Like, you're always trying to improve yourself. You're,
yep,
always trying to get better results, and there's always going to be obstacles in the way. And the key to, you know, making progress in life is overcoming obstacles.
Mm.
So if there were no obstacles, you wouldn't make any progress. So, right, those obstacles are necessary for you to, you know, advance in life.
Wow, that's good. I like that. How long would you say how long to date have you been in e-com?
So we started about January. Well, no. So officially, I think we started our business officially, because I think beforehand we weren't making any money.
Right.
So we were doing e-com. We just didn't make any money. June of 2015 is,
gotcha,
when we officially started our business. So,
yeah,
I, like, a little bit over three years. Yeah.
And I still think for the results you're getting now, to be able to do this in 3 years is like incredible. Like I say, I talk about with my friend Billy all the time. I'm like, man, I should be so much further than where I am, but I was applying the wrong practices or just doing what I thought was right. I just didn't, I didn't know about e-com. I just thought the only way you can make money in business is go do hard work, do service, do. And you were able to reach the success you had now over 3 years, but it hasn't been 3 years of success. Right. You've been pounding, pounding, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work.
Right. Yeah.
So I know you said you told people don't quit, but what do you tell that person who want to get those results but just not getting it? Should they keep testing? Should they just keep trying?
So, like I said, with 3 years, 3 years of experience, things aren't always going to be going your way.
Right, and
it's part of those obstacles that, you know, makes you better, makes you learn. You learn from every experience. Because to this day, I still like mess things up. And I still have to go back and learn, like, where I can improve things and all that stuff. But yeah, when like I tell people all the time, look, for me, we started, and for the first 7 months, we didn't see any results whatsoever.
Right.
So for you to be doing this for a month, and even then, I see people who are getting some results. They're just like, oh, you know, I'm like breaking even. Like what's wrong? Like this and that. I'm like, if you're breaking even on month number one, you are like way ahead of the curve.
Because
most people won't break even. Most people won't lose a little bit of money. Most people will just probably not even get there. Like they'll start out like for like a couple of weeks and then be like, oh, screw this. Like this doesn't work. Yeah. But it's in the process of just like keep on going, just keep on doing
it.
Yeah, keep at it, and like that's how you get like to where you need, where you hopefully you never get to where you like need to be, but you get closer.
Right. So for you, I mean, I look at you like I look at you as you're successful to me, and nowadays, you know, what we sell success, you gotta have a Lambo, you gotta be looking like you stunting. And when I say you like a regular, you and Rich like just chill, let me just eat good and have fun. So it's still possible for you to build a brand without showing that, you know, showing the Lambos, right?
Yeah. So,
and you tell that person, because some people like, I want to build my brand, but I don't necessarily want to do the Lambos and all. If you want to go get a Lambo, you can get one, but you don't. You don't want one. At this
and that I think, at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, to your type of person. If you want to be the flashy person who has a Lambo and shows off their, you know, the mansion and all this stuff, like you can do that. But you know, like,
there's nothing wrong with the Lambo and the mansion, guys. I just wanted to let you guys know, like, we're in the presence of someone who's actually successful, who's really getting results and not trying to look like he's getting results.
And I mean, I know people too who would go and like rent a Lambo, rent like a house on the beach, and then be like, look, it's me, I'm on this house on the beach, and like I rent this Lambo and all that stuff. And I mean, it works, because I've done stuff like that too, where I've like, oh, let me like rent this Lambo, because I know some people are going to be interested, and then they'll come in and listen to my message,
right?
Which is, you know, you have to hit all the areas, and like I'm not gonna say unfortunately, but like some like people are just drawn to like materialistic things, like when they see like the Lambo, the house, the whatever, then they're like, oh, like I need to follow this guy because this guy's doing something right. But I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really. Like, those are just material things. Like, you know, I can have a Lambo, but it's at the end of the day, it's a car. It's a car. Like, I mean, what's the purpose? I mean, it gets me from point A to point B. Sure, it's a little bit more fun, but whatever. I mean, and it's all these materialistic things. Like, they're nice to have, you know, but I wouldn't say that it's not like a requirement for success. And I think it tells something about like an individual too. Like, when you're not like so much like, oh, like I need to get a Lambo, I need to get a mansion, blah, blah, it tells something about you, because maybe your interests are more like, you know, you just want to learn a new skill. Maybe you just want to like, you know, like share with others. Maybe, you know, you want to help other people. Like I think that's more important than having the Lambo.
Gotcha.
But, you know, maybe that doesn't attract as many people as the Lambo does.
Right.
So
that's true. Yeah.
So it's all, you know, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. So I know one of your successful months, I think y'all did like 2 million in just sales. If you was the reverse engineer and depict how that happened, what would you tell somebody? Because someone, that's like what someone can make in a year or 10 years of doing a business. You're able to do that in a month. And based on the skills that you taught yourself, how would you depict it? If someone like, yo, Laz, I want to model what you able to do in a month.
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody? Or what's some of the strategies that you implemented to make that happen? Because I wonder, I want to give our guests, I want people to know it's possible. Like, you didn't always, you weren't always doing those type of numbers, right? And you were able to, but it's certain strategies, certain skills, and certain strategies you probably used to help you do that. So we would share that someone else who got an e-com business, whether that's drop shipping or whatever type of e-com, what would you say to them?
So, I guess I am going to answer your question, but before that, I'm going to say something that probably a lot of people wouldn't say. Like, you know, you have $2 million month in sales.
Right.
You know, a lot of the things happen, you know, things can happen. And if you're not prepared for these things, a lot of stuff can come back to bite you in the ass.
Right.
And I say that because that month, though we did do a lot of sales, everything was possible, we did a lot of good stuff, that month I was going crazy.
Right, right.
I was not ready for that at all, just because of the sheer number of things. Like, we, you know, we were used to doing like 200K sales a month, even 500K a month. But when we got to 2 million, it was like, you know, like, now
that's a whole another world.
It was crazy. Yeah. Like we didn't have systems in place to take care of stuff. So it just, you know, like, if you're trying to like go up the ladder, I guess just for progress, it's good, but make sure you have, you're putting, implementing systems. And that's like, after that, I, you know, that's like the main thing, main focus. I'm trying to put systems in place so that, you know, if that ever happens again, I'm not going to be losing my mind. Cause
I was about to say, what's some necessary systems needed to manage stuff, something of that nature? Yeah, VAs, software.
You need VAs. Because at the time it was just like me, my business partner, and like three other people.
Right.
And it was just too much. So you need VAs, you need to have fulfillment centers, you need to have like, you need to be ready for that type of stuff. So now, like, I like, whenever I'm gonna, you know, I'm thinking of like scaling my business up or anything like that, I'm making sure that I have all the systems in place before I do anything crazy, and then I'm like losing my mind for a month. With that being said, going back to your question about what was like the main factors, and I think in e-com, it's really important that you know your product. Your product is the main thing. If your product isn't good, you're not gonna make any money on e-com. So you have to make sure that you're selling a good product that people want to buy. That's the number one thing. If your product sucks, and I mean, there's many ways of finding products that are doing well. There's a bunch of tools online. And people have their own research methods as well. But you just have to find the right product. That's just number one.
So the number one key to a successful e-com business is identifying a, not a perfect product, but the right product.
The right product.
Trending product.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And a lot of, like, every e-com, every person that does e-com has their own strategies.
Right.
For finding products, and it's just something you have to develop over time, unless you like are being mentored by someone.
First step to finding the right product, would you say, if you're a beginner, I just got an e-com, other than get your course, number one. But if you were to say, hey man, as I'm trying to get in it, man, I don't got money for the course, just show me where should I go find a product.
So the best advice would be to don't try to reverse engineer anything. Just figure out what's selling.
Figure out what's selling.
If you figure out what's selling, like if someone else is having success selling something, chances are is that you can sell the same thing.
Google Trends.
It varies by platform, by advertising platform, and like it could get more complicated depending on where you're trying to advertise these products. But if you find products that people are selling, you can sell the same product.
Wow.
Ideally. You know, and then there's like other tricks too. Yeah. You have to make sure your website's optimized for people to.
They say optimize, explain, because everybody got a different meaning for optimize. Tell me what optimize is in your terms.
So basically having everything on a landing page that will induce the customer, make the customer feel more at ease to, you know, put in their credit card information, buy something from you. A lot of the times I can tell you things that people sometimes will show me and I'll be like, that's not good.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times people will get like review apps, right?
Yeah.
And they'll put like it's just like an app that you can get for your store that shows reviews of the product on your page. And I'll go on their site and I'll click on a product and their product has zero reviews.
Wow.
So, you know, if I'm a customer and I go into your site and I look at that product and I see it has zero reviews, why would I buy the product from you? I'll go search for the product somewhere else, see someone who has reviews, and I'll buy it from them.
Right.
So that's just like little things, making sure your description is like personalized to the product. A lot of people have like a cookie cutter description. And then it's like, well, you know, maybe this is just like some like person who doesn't know how to like talk, like write about a product.
Right.
So why would I buy from them? Maybe they, you know, like maybe they're just trying to scam me.
Right.
So you really need to show, it needs to show on your store that you're trustworthy.
Right.
And
it's funny you say it because I tell my members and people in general over and it's like, I'm like, yo, you need testimonials. Mm-hmm. It's social proof. Yeah. Like, how many times have you went out to dinner or lunch and most likely you Yelped it, you check the reviews out, you go to a hotel, you read the reviews before you go to a country, read the reviews. So what makes you think you don't need reviews? A review is a testimonial about the experience, whether it was good or bad. So one tip, technical thing, again, you could do from just listening, guys, go ask for reviews. The best reviews are video, but if not, get you a text message one, an email one, and put those up on your website. Let people know about the products and the services you offer and how people enjoy the experience, and that will increase your average order, I would imagine.
Reviews, it's critical because it adds like the human aspect to it. And it's like, oh, if, you know, other people are getting these results, if other people are, you know, like liking the product, if other people are whatever it might be that you sell, you know, if people see the reviews, they see that human aspect.
Yep.
And it's even better if it's like someone who like maybe they don't know, but they know exists.
Right.
So could you imagine like if your friend wrote a review on something and then you were interested in the same product and you saw your friend's review, you'd be like, oh, I'm definitely gonna get it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get it because absolutely. I trust my friend.
Absolutely.
And if he's writing a review for this, I think it's gonna be a good product.
Yeah.
So that's
important.
It's a major key.
Yeah, that's major key. And another one that I got was from Ecom Josh. We said on his Amazon listings, he put a toll-free number just saying, hey, have you got any questions or give me a call?
Yep.
He said that instantly crushes his competition because most of them not telling you to call. He said, and people never call, but at least they get to see, they get the option if they wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was another huge key for people to really implement.
Yeah.
So,
support in general, whether it be email, phone number, anything, you want to make that accessible to the customer because, you know, it just gives them a higher level of, you know, of peace.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I can trust this. If anything goes wrong, I have a number to call. I have someone to email.
Yep.
If anything goes wrong, I feel at ease.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it makes them trust you more.
Yeah.
So anything you can do, that's optimization. Anything, any of those things that you can add, it's game changing.
Now break me down. We was in DC. He said, Rich was like, Laz, we got to do this in the morning. We got to just scale. When you say scale, again, it means a lot of different things to different people. What is the process when you say scale? Like, is that I go press a button on Facebook, dump a lot of money and scale? Like, tell me, what is the process before I scale? Like, I'm in here, hey, I want to scale, Laz. This is working for me. What is the process to identifying if your product or what you're doing is worth being scaled?
So it really depends. So when we say that we're going to scale, basically we mean that we're going to throw more money at advertisements. Mm-hmm. We're going to increase our budget. Mm-hmm. We're going to do all this stuff. Now with scaling itself, there's different methods of doing that. Gotcha. And like with each platform, Google, Facebook, wherever else you might want to advertise, there is different methods of scaling so that, you know, you can increase your profits, but at the same time, you don't like totally like kill your ROI.
Gotcha.
So I mean you want to maintain this your same like level of profit margins throughout. Like hopefully you don't want to say you're spending $20 now and you're making back $50-$60 in profits. You don't want to scale to $100 and then just make like $20 more. You want to make sure that it's, you know, something that's scalable. So there's different techniques in scaling. And again, everybody has like their own like little and people scale differently based on their budget, based on, we were talking about testing. When you're testing products, people test products different ways. Some people, you know, put up a bunch of ad sets at like $1 a piece, and then some people put like a couple ad sets at like $20. So, you know, it really depends what you're comfortable with.
And on the person.
And on the person. Like, to be honest, it's like whatever gives you results. So, like, if I know that something's giving me results, I'm like, oh, I'm going to use this method. But, you know, it's not necessarily the right or the wrong method. It's just what works for you.
Gotcha. If you only could use one or the other tomorrow, Google ads or Facebook ads? If they said, Laz, you only could do one.
And we were talking about this earlier, too. So, Facebook... the support just kills me, man. It kills me because, and I mean, I would still, ideally, I would use both, but the support, it's, you know, whenever something happens with an account, your account gets deactivated or something like that, it's so hard to get answers from Facebook. And with Google, it's like such, it's like on the whole other extreme. Like, you can call a number, you can get someone on the phone. Facebook, you can only chat with them.
Their service aspect crushes Facebook.
So the service. But with that being said, they both work well when it comes down to advertising. And ideally, you want to be on both, because if something ever happens to one, you have the other one to fall back on. And for a long time, we were only advertising on Facebook. And then the presentation you saw was on Google. That was at one point where Facebook, you know, wasn't working for us, and we had to kind of improvise, and we're like, what do we do now? Because, you know, you're always running into obstacles. And then we ran into that Facebook obstacle. We're like, oh, Facebook isn't working. What do we do? So we jumped to Google, and now we know both. So now we're like, you know, but with Google, it's a lot simpler. When I tell people, it's a lot simpler. Like, if I were to start off with one or the other, it would be Google, hands down, just because it's so much easier. Just put up products and like test stuff on a massive scale. Like, when you're testing products on Facebook, you know, you have to make an ad copy, you have to find the right targeting, you have to do a bunch of stuff. With Google, you're basically putting up your product, and based off your title and your description, Google pulls the data and creates a campaign for you.
That sounds simple.
Yeah, it's super simple. And before that,
some things sound too good to be true to me, man. Yeah. Some things I'd be like, is that it?
Yeah. I mean, there is like a little like some optimization that you have to do as well. That you have to find out like the right bidding strategies and the budget and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, it's so much more simple, because there's a lot of less things you have to meet. It's just basically, you know, you always have to make sure you're finding the right products. But once you find the right products, it's a matter of, you know, with Google, it's just a matter of putting them up onto your store, having your campaign set up, and then Google is just feeding you traffic depending on whoever's searching for your stuff. As opposed to Facebook, is when you have to make content for a specific product and then hope that people that you're targeting are interested in that product, which could or could not, you know, work out
for you. Guys, I hope you listen, man. It's a lot of gems being dropped in here. Maybe too many, so I want you just to ask a couple more questions. But I hope you guys are enjoying this episode specifically, because I know I am.
This is awesome.
Definitely, yeah.
I'm going to have to do more podcasts.
Oh, we got you. I'm going to set you up for some with some friends. I think it'll be great. So one of the things, what would you say are some of your favorite hacks that you're currently using that are working in business? Because again, with this podcast that I want to do, I want to literally give people the game, but I'm telling them, you can have a game, is only useless, is only usable, is only good if you use it, basically. We be talking about strategies, and one thing I noticed, you go implement it, I go implement it, and it works or it doesn't work. A lot of people don't implement it. So if you was to share some strategies that you would want somebody to implement from listening to this, what would they be? It could be just profound guidance you receive from a mentor, just things that are working for you daily, that people could, tangible technical things people could do.
Let me see if I can pinpoint one or something major. So there hasn't, like, I haven't really changed much of the I mean, some stuff changed, but it's I mean, I guess something that I did incorporate recently that really affected my business was finding someone to do emails for me. Mm. So a lot of the times, like, email marketing is it's big everywhere.
Yes.
You know, people use it with their own brands. They use it for big business. Yep. Everything. Everybody uses emails.
Email, absolutely.
And before getting this person that I'm using for emails currently, I was literally doing all the emails myself. And I was getting return on the emails. But at the same time, and this is something that happens, that you don't really know if, unless you're like an expert in the subject, right. You can actually ruin your email list.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're sending spam, yeah, like, yeah. It gets to the point where you're sending them so much stuff.
The deliverability sucks.
Yeah, that nobody's going to open your stuff. Everything's going to go to spam. It sucks. So I think getting experts and not outsourcing everything, but outsourcing specific things that, you know, that there's people out there that can do it way better than you can.
Yeah. So outsourcing your email with an expert is a key.
Yeah, I would say that, because it's just tenfold so much better. Right. And they know exactly how many things they can push.
Right.
They know when to pull back. They know, like, how to not get sent to spam.
How do you find somebody like that?
It's a good question, because I, like, in the circle that I hang out with, a lot of people do e-com, a lot of people do the same stuff that I do. So, you know, there's a few names out there that, you know, people like gravitate towards.
Gotcha.
It was just through like a reference.
Game changing.
Yeah, reference.
What you think about, one of the keys that really helped change it all for me was getting my first virtual assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of work my VA does for me is like, I'm like, I was doing all of this work?
Yeah.
So I always tell people, man, I personally got mine from taskeveryday.com, guys. Reference me, Nehemiah, if you're listening, game changer, to get you a VA. It saves me a lot of time, energy, and effort.
VAs.
And that means virtual assistant for anyone like, oh, what does that mean?
Yeah, a virtual assistant. And I mean, that's not something recent, but I mean, if I had to say one of the biggest hacks in the whole like business industry, I think VAs would be one of the biggest, because we had the VAs, we were basically doing everything on our own.
Right.
And now, and I mean, I didn't get to the point where I was like, you know, I just, like, we started up and we're just like, oh, let's hire VAs for everything, because that's kind of unrealistic in a sense. And like, you kind of have to know how things work. Because you have to teach them, you have to tell them, oh, like, this is how I like this, this is how. So we start off, the first VA that we got was just for customer support. And it's funny, our VAs are located in the Philippines.
Mine too.
Yeah? So they're great. I couldn't be happier with them. When we first got our first one, her name is Jelly.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's her, that, like, she's not lying to me this whole time. That's what I call her, at least.
Right.
And she was telling me, like, she's doing customer support, she's answering all the emails, she's handling all the customer disputes, all that stuff. And then she kind of got to a point where it was like, oh yeah, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? Do you need help with this?
Right.
Like, I have more time. I can do this. Right. I can do that. And it just got to the point, she even like introduced us to her husband. She's like, oh, you guys need help with product research?
Yeah.
My husband can do that.
Wow.
So we brought him on as well. And now there are two main VAs. And then whenever we need to like hire, like if we're like scaling stuff, if we're trying to really push sales, if we need to hire people, we actually have them in charge of other VAs.
Crazy.
That they can just like hire on like a rolling basis.
Yeah.
But they know more about our business than we do, because they do everything.
Wow.
Everything. And, you know,
crazy.
Can
you imagine business without them?
No. No, it's insane. And and you know, and like, you, like, I really like appreciate everything that they do. And it comes down, you know, we like, now we're like on a very, very personal level. Like, they're like, "Oh, look, we bought our car thanks to you guys. We bought a house."
Wow.
This and that, like,
wow.
And it's wild. It makes me feel good too, because, you know, like,
insane.
Helping people and
absolutely, and changing someone's life.
Yeah. And they, you know, they tell you that, you know, they're so grateful for, you know, being able to work for you and all.
Get
that
a
stuff.
VA, people. We sharing VAs with you a hack. Do not overlook. A lot of times people be listening on podcasts for this transformational, like, you're going to say this one thing that's just Voila.
Yeah.
It's not that, guys. I haven't heard it yet for all the things I listen to. It has been a series of small things that I apply that work in my life. My man told me get a VA. I did it. It changed my life.
Yeah.
And I hang out with you sometimes and I'm like, man, Laz only looks as if he do what he's good at.
Yeah.
Like you operate in your strength.
Yeah.
You're not hopping on no sales calls.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing what your VA is doing. So I think operating in your strength is a major key, which is, you know, allowing you to achieve a certain level of success that some people can't get. So I say to you all who are listening, what is your strength? Like, how can you find what your strength is? What comes easier to you and harder to others? Like, what do you believe your gift is? Operate in that, delegate everything else. Yeah. Find you a VA, find you an assistant, find you an intern. There's someone out here who want to work with you and help you reach those goals. Yeah. So that's one of the things I take from you. I'm like, man, this guy just operates in what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yo, bro, how's the sales cost? You got to ask my sales guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that because that's how it is. Finding point. One of the things I take from find point members who operate in one area, let them do that, and I do what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's good. And we'll end up with this. If you could share, you know, if you was to lose it all tomorrow, what would you do? What would be the first step you do? You go dead broke, flat on your face, and you got to start over. What would be the steps you would take?
You know, I think about it sometimes, like, what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, I'm like, well, you can take all the money I've made. You can take like all my investments. You can take everything. And I mean, I still know what I know. So like at the end of the day, like if everything, I can always start up a new store.
Right.
And like if I have to get a job to pay ads at first, right, I'll get a job and pay ads at first. Right. Like it's not a big deal. Some people are like, oh, you know, like, you know, like I'm an entrepreneur. I can't do this. I can't. I'm like, if you're really an entrepreneur, you'll find a way to make money, to like whatever you need to do to like set yourself up, you'll find a way. And there's always the possibilities are like endless. Like,
one of my biggest takeaways on here, because a lot of times people talking about creating brand loyalty, building your personal brand, more so I hear from you, look, just create a store, run ads.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things I want people to take away, learn how to run Facebook ads, learn how to run Google ads, learn how to run YouTube ads. And they probably can pay you immensely if you figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
And guys, if you want to learn how to do that, please tell them about the masterclass.
So we do offer a e-com. We call it, it's the ecomprofitmasterclass.com. And we do offer, you know, it's mainly is how to set up your store with Shopify, which is the platform that most of these e-commerce guys use.
Yeah.
We set it up with Shopify, and that's what we use too. That's why we set it up. That's why we teach you that. And then we teach you how to set up your Google Ads and run your Google Ads. Just because, like we were just talking about, if you start off with Google Ads, it's so like the learning curve is so much easier. Like you're not gonna spend money and like, you can literally spend very little money and get results. Wow. So like I tell people, you know, like start off with Google, and then, you know, now we're adding more stuff to the course. We're adding Facebook, we're adding email marketing, we're adding like business aspects, like just like how to deal with like customers, how to do all that stuff, because all that stuff is important. And if you don't, you know, if you don't like make sure that it's right, it can bring your whole business down. So you want to make sure that you have everything in order. So
that's dope. So let me ask you before we get out, how much was your degree, would you say?
So I got a lot of scholarships.
Okay.
And with that being said, when I graduated, I owed $50,000.
Okay, with a lot of scholarships.
With a lot of scholarships. This was like me almost like getting like a full ride.
So without it, maybe been about 150 to 200?
It was 60K a year.
60K, 61, 21, 80, 240. I want you guys to just think about the math. 240,000 for a 4-year degree, which takes you 4 years to actually learn the information, which they say, hey, learn this in 4 years. You won't make money for 4 years.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have to pay me back this after you graduate 4 years, almost immediately. As soon as you get out, you got to start paying me.
They give you 6 months, I think.
6 months.
6 months with no interest, but then they start charging you interest.
Interest. So I say all that to say, guys, for a little less than $2,000, you can learn everything that we kind of just discussed and so much more.
Yeah.
So, guys, I want you to look out for Econ Masterclass. Look out for a free webinar and a free training that you'll find below in the show notes. And we super excited. Thank you, Vlad, so much for joining us
today. Thank you for having me. This is great.
And we're going to keep rocking, bro.
Thank you so much.
So, guys, that was the conclusion of our podcast/YouTube with Laz, man. Such an amazing guy. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in today. It's only going to get greater. It's only going to get better. Y'all be great. Talk to you soon.